When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, what's going on? I'm Rob Cesternino, back again to talk with you about the week's most interesting news stories for the week of May 30th, 2023, here on News AF.
If a story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, factual news.
Yeah, that is right. Here is your News AF team, and we are spread out across half a hemisphere here today, as I'm coming to you from the East Coast, and here with us, all the way from Hawaii, he is Pickleball's top influencer. Aloha, Tyson Apostle!
Aloha. That's how they say.
Yeah, I feel like I'm there.
That's how they say it there.
That's how they say it here. Yeah. It's for those of you who are did not grow up Mormon, whenever you have anybody from Hawaii visit your
congregation,
they say aloha from the pulpit. And Mormon churches are very, very somber. Like there's no clapping, there's no raised voices, nothing.
Electric guitars,
none of that. So when you say aloha and then you get the congregation, just it's the only time that the congregation can react, and they fucking love it, dude. The old people in a Mormon congregation screaming aloha back at the guy who just got back from Hawaii on his Hawaiian vacation, and they just like cannot get enough of it.
Why is that?
Just because they finally get to say something loud during a meeting.
And they also think that it also, they're like, we're cultured. We're inclusive of everyone. Mormons, we say aloha.
What if somebody comes from Mexico? Is it a big like, hola?
No.
Only aloha?
It's exciting. Only
it's
aloha.
A lot of the same letters.
Yeah, no.
You're right. It's basically the same thing.
I don't know why or how it is, but like if you...
We don't make the rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You could literally make a YouTube channel of you going around to Mormon congregations, getting up and just saying aloha. And then when the congregation says aloha back, you say, that wasn't good enough. Mm-hmm. Aloha. And then the whole congregation loses their fucking minds. They're
I think
just
I might
like,
get canceled if I made that YouTube video.
No, you wouldn't.
You don't think
so? How many times have you heard aloha in Hawaii?
I used to be very against saying it to other people who obviously weren't from here. Okay. Like you go into a shop and it's like this old retiree from Minnesota who's like, aloha. And I'd be like, hello. So, but now I just embrace it and I'm like, aloha, blah, 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 blah. Like you get really into it.
That's
so
how you know you're old right there. You've embraced it. That's how that old man came out of the bathroom.
I say it in a way that makes people uncomfortable on purpose.
Yeah. You make that noise?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do it all.
Yeah. That would make people uncomfortable.
How do you say Hawaii?
Hawaii.
There it is.
Yeah.
And then you can say mahalo. That means thank you. Mm-hmm. And that's their whole language. That's what people think their whole language is mahalo and aloha. But they have a whole language. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't know that. But I'm here, you know, to drop bombs. Hawaiian has a whole language with a ton of different
words. Hawaiian punch.
Yeah. Hawaiian punch.
You're backing it today.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Tyson, yes.
I didn't think I was going to be that funny this morning but you got me on my aloha rant and it's a thing. It's a thing that I feel very passionate about.
Yeah.
I could tell.
People not from Hawaii shouldn't say aloha to each other ever.
I couldn't agree more,
but they do and they love it.
What about if there's a third person who's Hawaiian who's witnessing the interaction?
Makes it worse.
Yeah, I was going to say. That does make okay. it worse.
Well, here's a man yeah. who does not believe in saying hello, even in the continental United States. Danny Bryson. Danny, how are you?
Good. I spent yesterday talking about culture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I drove through the middle of Nevada yesterday. That's what I spent almost my entire day doing.
Did you scream aloha at
There
anybody?
Is nothing, and I mean nothing, in Nevada.
Nada?
It is, yes, thank you, nada in Nevada. Yeah. It is completely desolate. I drove, I would say I spent 3 hours without seeing anyone else in my lane. No joke.
Did you like that?
Yeah, I did kind of like it in a weird way, but man, it is an empty place, no cell service. There is so much room in Nevada for those who like are sick of the comforts of Arizona and they mm-hmm. want to move somewhere rougher. There's always Nevada. And then there's all these like desolated towns, boarded up. They would make the greatest horror movie sets. It's just every time
what
I drive
through
the
interior.
What are
you doing out there?
Well, I climbed and skied Mount Whitney in the morning mm-hmm. and then I drove home in the afternoon and it was just empty.
And
so
you
empty.
Stop by like these boarded up towns?
No, they all have like no trespassing, spray painted stuff. They really do look like the sets of the greatest horror films, mm-hmm. you know, where the hillbillies are living in caves and yeah. the tourist car break down.
Right.
And lots of gruesome things happen to them. I mean, it's like The Hills Have Eyes,
yeah.
the entire state. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's just, if you're looking for an adventure, drive across Nevada, the interior of Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hit Reno. Don't hit Las Vegas. Just deep Nevada.
Deep nothing. Nevada.
Sarah suggests our next live event should be at one of these deep
oh,
Nevada
my
towns.
Gosh. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, one of the downsides, there's no reception, at least not for T-Mobile people.
Okay.
So you really are going to have a Hills Have Eyes experience if your car breaks down.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to hitch a ride from some guy who shows up in an 85 Chevy. Yeah, I take it back to my farm.
Did you pick up any phone. Hitchhikers, Danny?
Oh, there was a hitchhiker. Here was the craziest thing. He was in the middle of nowhere. Remember, middle of Nevada, nothing 100 miles behind me, nothing 100 miles ahead. All he had was a blanket.
Mm.
That's all he was carrying. And a crazy look on his face. He was also carrying that. Luckily, he was on the other side of the road, so I didn't feel bad not picking him up.
Yeah, he was
like,
going the same direction as
this
you.
This guy's got no plan. What is his plan? Like, there's nothing. He's just going to sleep at the... It blew my mind seeing him just walking on the side of the road.
You don't think he was a hillbilly lure?
Oh, to get well, he could have been, but I mean, you got to use the hot short shorts, Daisy Dukes. That's who you use to lure them in. The hottest inbred is the mm-hmm. one you use to lure them into yeah. the closed up town.
How do you know he didn't have like a compelling sign on the blanket and he just wasn't holding it up?
Well, I couldn't know that. And the blanket was just like rolled up as it was just, mm-hmm. just terrible. Maybe his stuff was in there. At least have like a stick and a knapsack,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, some stuff in there.
Did he have a thumb out?
No, because I was going the wrong way and there wasn't I hadn't seen a car in like 30 minutes. Anywhere, maybe even an hour. So he's probably still out there.
Where was he going?
Dude, nobody knows. See, wherever he was going, he's still going there.
Still going.
He did not reach his destination.
Wow.
So it was wild. I always forget that. Yeah, mm-hmm. I drive across Nevada at least once a year. I got to say, I forget how empty it is.
Just mm-hmm. You totally always forget? Empty.
Yeah, every time. Tyson, is mine. You will drive across these valleys. You can see the road stretching out for like 50 miles.
Yeah.
And you drive across this basin. You don't see anyone, no houses, no towns. It's
yeah.
It's
driven
crazy.
I've driven to Reno on the 80. I've driven to I've driven through Ely and I've driven through some towns in Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, but you forget. Like I've driven all the time, but every time I go back out there, I'm like, holy crap. It is empty out here. Maybe we should do something. Mm-hmm. Central Nevada, us, in an abandoned mine. Because there's also like 2,000 abandoned mines in Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
So just find one of those.
Okay. All right. Well, in the meantime, let's talk about some of the top stories we have at this hour. And this is a new trend about how Gen Zers are taking care of themselves. And it's called bed rotting.
Now, this follows in the heels of the everything shower. Seems like it's somewhat similar.
Bed rotting?
Yeah.
So okay. They're taking care of themselves, and this is called bed rotting.
Yes, bed rotting. And Tyson, it sounds extreme and gross, but bed rotting refers to laying in your bed for long amounts of time.
Yeah, that's till you get bed sores or what?
They always think they're inventing things, and what they realize is that teenagers have been doing this. At least since modern times.
Yeah. I still do it once in a while. I'll be like, I'm just going to lay in bed all day today. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I'd go crazy.
You would?
Oh, 100%. I could never just lay in bed.
Yeah.
The minute I hear commotion around me, I feel like I need to go do something.
Morgan Wells in the chat is rotting in their bed right now.
Okay. The best way to rot is to listen to News AF.
Yeah. So bed rotting, Tyson, you approve?
Sure. I mean, not every day. You can't do it daily because you gotta, you gotta do some stuff, but once
in a
while,
it's like a king of the olden days, right? Yeah. Kings would just lay on that thing, on their side, eating grapes, getting gout.
Sure. Mm-hmm. See, I don't mind the rotting, but I'd like to rot in other places than just my bed. I don't want to be confined to the bed.
Like the couch or the movie theater or what?
Yeah, I like doing nothing, but I can only sleep for a certain amount of time. I have a very hard time of I can go to bed early, but I like hit like a wall around around 8:30 max. Yeah. Can't stay in bed.
Even if you have your phone?
I guess I want to be out of bed.
Yeah. It's so.
I don't want to do anything, but I don't want to just be stuck in the bed.
So is there more to this bed rotting, or this is the whole story?
This is it. So bed rotting, that this is a new trend. And if you hear somebody talking about bed rotting, that's what they're doing. I guess what's the difference between bed rotting and goblin mode?
You know what? Who the OG of bed rotting was? Charlie and the Chocolate Factory's grandparents.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes. They were like the first bed rotters. Man, yeah, they just laid in that bed. The guy could walk the whole time.
Laid
in that bed arguing with the other old people, saying aloha to each other.
Yeah.
This is so stupid.
You don't like it, Danny?
You don't have anything to do. You can just lay around in bed all day.
Well, maybe you're doing social media also. I think most of the people on social media are probably bed rotting while they're on social media.
That's what I'm saying.
Lazy people. The best trend to ever happen to the lazy people is bed rotting. Oh, finally, something I can take a picture of. That's interesting.
Yeah. The people that are the advocates for bed rotting feel like that... You know, there's too much body checking and what I eat in a day, and it's too much shaming of the bed rotters.
They should be shamed.
And did these guys come up with the name on their own? They wanted
it came
to be
across
called bed rotters?
Up on TikTok.
Yeah. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't want to be known as a bed rotter. That sounds gross.
Yeah.
I guess goblin mode sounds gross too, but not as bad as bed rotting.
Sounds kind of cool. Goblin
Bed rotting is a smell. When you say bed rotting, I'm thinking that's a description of smell. No, it's the description of flesh laying for too long on probably a dirty mattress. It's like,
because if you're a bed rotter, you're not probably motivated to change your sheets very often.
Right. There's a correlation there.
Yeah. Like Danny's going through one of these Nevada, like the blanket that this man was carrying that Danny saw walking through the middle of Nevada.
Yes.
Yeah. It probably had been bed rotted on a ton of times.
So he probably bed rots behind the scrub oak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, this is probably a good way to get to our next story about
talking about bed rotting.
Yes. Well, maybe the bed rotters. There's a lot of crossover here for people that belong to a new movement called the no wash movement, or the low wash movement for some who are feeling like that you don't need to wash your clothes.
Again, not a new idea, just lazy slothfulness. Yeah, like this has always been a thing with some people.
Yeah.
And the bed rotters, the bed rotters aren't washing their clothes.
Tyson, didn't you not wash your jeans for years at a time?
You're never supposed to wash your jeans.
Okay.
Never?
So that's what I was thinking of when I heard this. I thought there's already people who do kind of
high-end jeans are not supposed to be washed in the washing machine.
Yeah, what do? Just like dust the them off?
Yeah. I just don't get them dirty and only put them on when I'm clean. And I don't wear jeans anymore, but you can put them in the freezer.
You put them in the freezer and that kills any sort of like stuff that's on them?
Yeah, supposedly, yeah.
I didn't know that.
You put jeans in my freezer and you will have to wash them. When you they will be covered in semi-melted ice cream, Otter Pop, drippings, maybe some exposed to raw meat.
People put them in a plastic bag first and then in the freezer. That was the thing back then. I don't know if they still
do that.
Wow,
I never heard that before.
Me neither.
I think I saw it on what's that show? Queer Eye for a Straight Guy?
Yeah, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. They did that?
The original one, yeah.
Yeah. Now the guy who got the makeover was doing that, or the guys came in and said, no, just do this with your jeans.
This is how you take care of your jeans, yeah.
Interesting.
The guys came in and said that.
So some folks say that take your jeans and not into the freezer, but put them out in the hot Nevada sun. The UV rays.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that works too.
Unfortunately, in Nevada, there are dust storms all day, every day. So they'll be quite dusty at the end
That's
of
how
that
you,
day.
But that's how they teach you on Survivor to clean like your stuff is set it out in the sun.
Yeah.
I put my boots out in the sun to try and kill the boot juice stink.
After you poured out the boot juice.
After I pour out the water, I take out the insole, and then I put them out in the sun, and it does seem to help.
Mm-hmm. Danny out here judging people all the while. He's got his boot juice.
Mm-hmm. It's my favorite hobby.
Yeah.
Judging people.
Okay, well, one of the people who are helped perpetrate this movement, designer Stella McCartney, says basically in life, the rule of thumb is if you don't absolutely have to clean anything, don't clean it.
This one I believe more.
That's my rule.
Yeah, I put away clothes that aren't completely dirty.
Yeah.
I don't wash everything right after I've worn it. So I do kind of believe in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not about that we want people to think that they can't wash stuff because they're destroying the planet. It's about trying to get the balance right. Maybe we're cleaning things too much.
I get that.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. I think we are cleaning things too much. Like, how many times have you gone to like your washing machine to fill it up and you're like, how much soap do I need to put in here this time? Mm-hmm. What? Like, I'm like doing a mental inventory of how dirty the stuff I put in the wash machine actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Socks need to be cleaned every time.
Yeah, that's true.
Underwear, mostly every time.
Yeah,
every time.
I think so.
No.
But exterior.
Listen.
Come on, dude.
Listen, I am in Hawaii right now. I wake up, I put my swimsuit on. I wear my swimsuit all day long. Yeah.
If you're lucky enough to wear a swimsuit all day,
I come home, maybe. I shower, I just put the same underwear on I slept in the night before as the sleeping underwear.
Mm-hmm.
And I can do that.
How much bed rotting did you do?
I did zero bed rotting. I would like to do some bed rotting because I feel like I've aged 1,000 years in the 5 days I've been in Hawaii. And I have another week of this.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to go on a work trip after this to just like chill.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess the see if this movement ends up getting a lot of steam of people not wanting to steam their stuff after they make movements.
Yeah. Well, listen, Danny's right. Like a t-shirt is touching your skin. It follows the same rule as like an underwear. The socks are mandatory. If you're putting socks in shoes. It's not the same as
underwear. T-shirt's not the same as underwear.
Just about though.
It's not about.
If you wear a t-shirt all day long.
Waist holes.
If you wear a t-shirt all day long, you can maybe wear it 2 days long, but that's the max. 2 day t-shirt. And then pants, as long as your legs
don't sweat,
sweaty and gross.
3 to 5 days.
Sure. Pants. Sure. Yeah. We'll write a whole thing on this, Danielle.
Yeah. Why don't we have a revolution?
Start the movement.
Yeah.
We probably did
be
start
the movement you want to see in the world.
We just didn't have a name for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
We needed a name for it.
Yeah. What's the name going to be?
I mean, they already came up with a name.
The No Wash. I think you're going to start your own movement.
That's the movement we already started. We just didn't have a name for it.
Mm-hmm.
People who come up with the names, they get all the credit.
They get credit. The Bed Rotters. Like, yep.
Yeah.
The Bed Rotters. The No Wash Revolutionaries.
These guys did not invent any of this. We invented it, and they're just putting a name to it.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about a big UK contest that is making a lot of news today. Danny, did you see the story of the woman who won the UK cheese rolling race today?
Yeah, I think it was on ESPN 6.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that cheese rolling race before on Netflix. One of the Netflix documentaries has a little thing on it.
Wait, cheese rolling? I see people rolling.
Yes.
No, that's what happens. The cheese, they go to the top of this super steep hill.
Okay.
They roll this cheese wheel down and everybody runs down the hill that is at like a 82% decline and they're just toppling. Like,
how many people die?
Nobody's died, I don't think, but tons of separated shoulders, broken collarbones, broken wrists. Like people, they try to stay on their feet as long as they can and then they just tuck and roll.
Mm-hmm. This guy's got some knee pads.
Well, the woman who won this year's competition, her name is Delaney Irving. I guess there's some controversy considering that she won the race while being passed out unconscious.
That's the best way to do the race. Mm-hmm. Knocked out, your body tumbling head over foot.
Yeah. Here, I can show the video of it. That it is.
Do you want to see it?
Do you want to see it? Is it
gruesome?
She takes a header and then passes out and then wins the race.
Yeah, let's see.
Okay, all right. So here we go. This is from the greatest hits of Radio Gloucester of Canadian Delaney Irving. Won't remember much of winning the women's race at cheese rolling. After being knocked out on her way down, she was unconscious for a period of time, but said it was all worth it. I guess we'll have to find out what the prize was. But here,
I think you get the cheese.
You get the cheese. Okay.
And there is a cash prize. Okay.
Ready, set, go. All right. Here comes all of the
people.
Some
just go right into tumblers. I think you know it's going to happen.
And they're coming all the way down.
Look at that. Where's the cheese? Oh, I see. Where's the cheese? Is it out in front?
Finish.
Yeah, I see how that happened. So she tried the tumbling method at first. It wasn't as successful as she had hoped. So she got on her feet, ran the midsection, and then tripped. And the next thing to hit after tripping is her face. Here we go. That's the moment right there.
Right
now she
there.
Bounces, goes 5 feet into a tumble, and rolls across
this
the finish
other
line.
This other woman just gets like
red shirt,
stumbles across the finish line. But I guess that's past the line. But imagine she wakes up and it's like, you won.
Won
you did
what?
It.
Who am I?
Yeah. So cool. Amazing. How is this still happening?
I love it. I think this is awesome. This is exactly what we need to counter bed rotting.
This is the opposite of bed rotting?
Cultural events. Yeah, this is the opposite of bed rotting.
Yeah.
Danny, would you try this?
Old school entertainment. I was just thinking, would I rather do this or the slap contest?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I would do this.
Yeah,
I would do this too. But
because while I might be knocked out here, I will definitely get knocked out getting slapped.
Yeah, I would do this, but I wouldn't try to win.
You just do it for the vibes?
No, I wouldn't do it for the if I had to do a slap contest or this, I'm doing this.
Sure.
I'm not going to break an ankle doing this.
I just love how dedicated all these people are. Right from the beginning, they're like, I'm going to the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And they just dive head first, start rolling. Something we try to avoid our entire life is rolling down a hill.
Yeah.
Nope. Right into it.
Yeah. Who knows what permanent repercussions she's or future repercussions she's going to have from slapping her head on the ground that hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or maybe I don't know, is jostling your brain inside your skull?
I think you can take a good jostle once every decade and probably be okay.
I don't think that's what doctors recommend.
I don't recommend it, but I think that you could probably handle that. I haven't received a good brain jostling in a while.
Yeah.
Hopefully I won't, but it's, I think that's at least somewhat okay. Maybe if she's doing this every year.
It's not okay. It's not okay.
I said somewhat okay, Tyson.
Yeah.
No, I think
there's a lot of factors in all seriousness of like how, how big of a jostle did you have?
Yeah, exactly.
How often are you having like a second jostle?
But even just how did the jostle, like a jostle doesn't have to be extreme for it to be detrimental.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we also can't live in a room covered with pillows.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can't because these
bed rotters are saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, the bed rotters are against all of these. Look, like
you have to decide
concussion-inducing activities.
You get to decide as an individual how many of these cheese rolling contests you get knocked out for. And some people, it's worth it to them, and I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
we got good news from Sarah in the chat. She says the ground was probably soft when she fell. So,
yeah,
soft enough to knock her out.
Didn't
gently.
Seem that soft in the video, I will
it
say.
It did look soft. Yeah. That grass did look fluffy.
That's one thing I always say whenever you see those fell videos of somebody who almost certainly got very, very injured, if not dead, I always say they're probably fine. They're probably fine.
That's
the surf ones.
Yeah, so you can keep watching. You're like, that person's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Next.
Yeah. So it looks like that the racers are chasing this 7-pound wheel of cheese.
But I didn't see the cheese out in front on the video. Was it just too small?
Yeah, I didn't see it either. I wonder if maybe that it's just such a wide shot.
The rugby players at the bottom ate it?
Yeah, nobody. Does it seem like somebody's catching the cheese? I don't know.
Because I think you're supposed to catch the cheese. So maybe the cheese came to a stop right where she fell after she
touched it with her unconscious body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A floppy limb happened to brush it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. But no, I love this battle between the bed rotters and the cheese chasers. Of the cheese chasers are out there. They're going to like put themselves risking life and limb to catch that wheel of cheese. And the bed rotters are just like DoorDash.
I think you could do both.
Bring the cheese to me.
You could be a bed rotter one day and a cheese chaser the next. Mm-hmm. No.
Probably maybe. This woman is going to be on bed rot for a little while after this. Yeah. There were many people that were drawn out to this event, and they do multiple races, and it's just people seem just to do it for their love of cheese.
You know who would be good at bed rotting?
Who?
Enzo Palermo or whoever from Big Brother.
Yes.
Yeah. I used to have to, on the Challenge USA, I always offered to flip him over so he didn't get bed sores.
Because,
he spent a lot of time
nice
in that
of you.
Bed.
That
yeah, so it was. Nice. I thought so, too. Totally I was like, I'll flip you over if you're getting bed sores.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be great at this. He might have invented it.
All right. Why don't we talk a little bit about some of the AI stories? So it seems like the ChatGPT is great for a lot of things. For many things it's good. But I think that one of the things you don't want to use it for is you don't want your lawyer being big into ChatGPT.
Why not?
Well,
you pay a lot of money to get represented
you pay a lot
by
of
a
money.
Professional.
Yeah, you could kind of do it yourself if you're going to rely on ChatGPT. Yeah. But a New York lawyer is actually now going to have to face his own legal scrutiny after his firm used AI tool ChatGPT for legal research. The problem is that if you cite cases given to you by ChatGPT, sometimes ChatGPT either makes things up or gets confused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I saw a thing, like there's all these threads on Twitter, and I don't know how the Twitter algorithm works, but it's like the exact stuff I don't care to see. I see it all day long on Twitter now. And like one of them was like, I am a ChatGPT expert hacker guy, and you don't even need a lawyer anymore. You, with these basic prompts, you can get all the your law lawyer questions answered and represent yourself and all this stuff. So something along those lines. So maybe this lawyer was like, oh, that's interesting. I guess let's try it out.
You got hooked in to the scam.
Sure.
The AI lawyer.
Yeah. But sometimes like ChatGPT just does not get its facts straight.
Dude, I had it write an bio for me and it did not get it right.
Right. Sometimes, especially like, when you ask it like questions about like, you or somebody you know, that the stuff that it gets, it is a fudge factor.
Yeah.
Yeah. A big fudge factor.
Mm-hmm.
You should treat it with as much scrutiny as you would anything on the internet, which is a lot.
Yeah. Okay. For instance, I asked ChatGPT to tell me the five most notable moments from the career of Tyson Apostle.
Okay.
All right. Yep. You tell me if ChatGPT, people should be using it in legal research. Okay.
Okay.
Number one, winning Survivor Blood versus Water 2013.
Okay. Sure, that's correct.
Okay, that's good. Right. So far, so good. Return to Survivor Heroes versus Villains is number two.
I don't know if that's the most notable, but sure.
Number three, first appearance on Survivor Token Sheens.
Yes.
Okay.
My first Survivor appearance was on Token Sheens. I don't know if that's the most notable, though. Okay.
No, still not too bad.
Number four. Launch of Nature with Tyson and Boston Rob in 2020.
No.
Yeah.
That's incorrect.
Yes. Tyson Apostle and fellow Survivor alum Boston Rob Mariano launched a podcast in 2020 called Nature with Tyson and Boston Rob. The podcast allowed him to reach out to fans in a new way and to share his thoughts on a variety of topics.
It's mixing facts, isn't it, Tyson?
Yeah.
And number five, participating in Survivor Winners at War.
Sure.
Okay.
So those very the big Survivor five. Centric.
And the creation of your
of my podcast, Nature with Tyson. Nature Rob. Time, is that what it's called?
It's called Nature with Tyson and Boston Rob.
Okay. I like that. Maybe that's the project. Maybe because AI sometimes, it'll give you business ideas. Maybe this is what we need to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had a prompt. Please write a quick single paragraph bio on Tyson Apostle.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is what it came up with. Tyson Apostle is an American reality TV personality, adventurer, and former professional cyclist. He was born on June 17, 1979 in Provo, Utah. Apostle gained national recognition through his appearances on the CBS reality TV show Survivor, where he competed in three seasons.
Okay.
Survivor Token Sheens, Survivor Heroes versus Villains, and Survivor Blood versus Water. He also appeared on the show American Ninja Warrior and co-hosted the MTV show Stranded with $1 Million.
This is pretty cool alternative history.
Outside of his TV appearances, Apostle is an avid outdoorsman and adventurer who enjoys mountain biking, rock climbing, and backcountry skiing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it possible? What? Does ChatGPT not just like make stuff up, but actually is like connected to the multiverse and like is like tapping in actually pull? Because nobody really knows how it works. Does it maybe just like pull information from other dimensions?
Oh, it could.
Yeah.
The like, Tyson
that's
Apostle,
not
the
true in
MTV.
Our universe, but maybe there's a different universe where all that stuff is true.
Yeah. Yeah, you're thinking that in a different universe, I'm the host of Stranded MTV. With $1 Million. Yeah.
They could do
Is
worse.
Is that a real show?
Yeah,
Is
that was a real show. It was a real show. Yeah,
Stranded with $1 Million.
Yes, I believe that's what it was called.
And American Ninja Warrior. That's
that
a real
is
thing?
Real show. Yeah.
Oh well, yeah, that one's definitely real.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I appeared on there.
How did you do when you were on it? You should ask.
Let's ask ChatGPT.
Yeah. Say, hey, how did I finish?
Should I ask if I've won?
Yeah. Yes. Stranded with $1 Million was a 2017 MTV reality show. I believe it's most notable for there was a contestant that went to great lengths to sabotage the other competitors and peed in the water well.
Gross.
Mm-hmm.
And what a thing to be known for.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I wonder what Tyson would have said.
Well, Tyson, congratulations on your many successes, mm-hmm. according to Chat. Is it important that ChatGPT thinks that you've done all that? Will ChatGPT think you're cooler because you've done all that? Do you want to correct ChatGPT, Tyson?
No, but that makes me very skeptical because my information along all of that is very, very accessible. And so the fact that it like just came up with me hosting that show and mm-hmm. that I was on American Ninja Warrior, two things that have never been connected to me ever in my entire life. Right. Like I've never even had a conversation about those things.
Mm-hmm. But it sounds like if someone was to ask ChatGPT about you, it's really going to boost you.
You think so?
Might use some fake news, but it, yeah, but sounded it didn't, like...
It said I was only on Survivor 3 times, though, not 4.
I know,
four.
It missed some, yeah, it missed that. But, I mean, you're hosting MTV shows, you're on Ninja Warrior, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, but I've been on MTV shows, and I've met hosts of MTV shows, and I have to say, not impressed.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What do you wish that it would have included? What's the key Tyson fact that it left out? And is that a robot bias against Tyson?
What?
Like, what would you, if you, okay, you don't like this, it has some misinformation, but what's the most important fact that it left out for your bio?
I mean, it got some facts wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so but what weird. I'm saying is
but
like,
it's also BSing us, Danny. Yeah. We don't like
but
that.
What I'm saying. Okay,
I've been dad of the year, and we've said that I've been dad of the year many times on this podcast.
All right, so it didn't how can it dad not, of the year. Okay.
How can it not tap into that? Like, yeah. Stuff we said on this podcast well, should be in there.
Do you think that that is like a major flaw that ChatGPT isn't smart enough to listen to all the podcasts yet? Because eventually,
why
you would
can
think,
it not?
Yeah, in a couple of years, you would think yeah. that the AI will have listened to all of the podcasts, and then so much more about us is going to be known by the...
Well, listen... I know that AI can hear podcasts because I have gone through, they call it a social media audit. When you go on TV shows sure. now, they do a social media audit. They run it on anything they can find of any media you've ever done anywhere. And on this podcast, I got flagged multiple times for saying stuff like teledildonics and pornography. Mm-hmm. And now those are going to get flagged again the next time I get social media audited yeah. for this exact episode.
I am
so the
so
fact
sorry.
That ChatGPT can't do it, it's funny.
It's embarrassing.
Like I asked, it's like 30 pages of me saying teledildonics mm-hmm. or pornography on this podcast. And that's like the most grievous thing.
So you're,
I've done
what I'm
online.
Hearing from you is like, you're wishing that ChatGPT would have included in your bio your love of teledildonics.
Yes.
That's what I'm hearing from you right now.
That's correct.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
correct.
Okay. Well, if you do have a love of teledildonics, maybe mm-hmm. it's something that you might want to include in your wedding vows because some mm-hmm. couples are using tools like ChatGPT to help them write their wedding vows. But marriage experts are saying to be careful.
Really? Mm. Be careful. Mm-hmm. I wonder
yeah.
why.
Okay. Well, first off, that ChatGPT might be writing things that maybe you don't want. So,
well, can't you edit as the humanoid?
You
I
should,
guess so.
But that doesn't mean people will. I mean, I could see like Tyson if you had Chat write your wedding vows, and it's like Tyson will love you as much as he loved MTV.
Hosting MTV
shows
with $1 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the idea is I think you're supposed to write wedding vows that you mean. And so, you know, ChatGPT might be just be throwing stuff in there that you don't necessarily want to put your name on.
Yeah, but what if ChatGPT knows your wife better than you do because it's been scraping all of her social media mm-hmm. for years and it can write some real nice, in-depth things that you never caught on to
yeah.
about the wife?
Wedding vows are shallow fluff piece.
Yeah.
It's not like, it's not direct. It's not like, yeah. So these are putting your best foot forward in this most beautiful moment of your life, supposedly.
Okay.
So why? So that's not real. I mean, I guess it's kind of real.
Tyson, but like, people who write wedding vows never separate later. It's just like impossible because it's so from the heart.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I asked ChatGPT to help me write new podcast co-host vows to you guys.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see. Let's see if these will work for when we renew our podcast.
Oh, this is great, Rob. This is a great idea. When people start a work at a new company, they should write vows to their fellow workers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or to the company.
All right.
Or to the company.
All right. Here is my podcast vows.
Okay.
Rob Cesternino, pledge to you both. I promise to always honor the spirit of News AF, maintaining our shared mission to bring the most entertaining, intriguing, and outlandish news stories to our faithful listeners. I vow to dig deep, even when the news gets weirder than a Florida man headline. Now, this is very good because I didn't really even I just told it that I wanted podcast vows for Danny and Tyson. I, Rob Cesternino, want it knows enough about News AF to know. Okay, it knows us. Okay, so maybe it is listening. Okay, shout out News AF. Shout out ChatGPT. Okay, number two, I promise to uphold our camaraderie, our brotherhood of the mic, treating both of you with respect. Honoring your opinions and fostering an environment where our differences in perspectives lead to a dynamic, engaging, and humorous conversation. These are two for two so far.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do as well.
I pledge to remain open to growth and change, ensuring that News AF evolves with the times, always keeping it fresh, relevant, and above all, fun for our listeners.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, that sounded great.
Maybe ChatGPT should be the
writing your company vows.
I'm gonna have to rewrite my wedding vows.
The window to the heart, then swap them out.
Vow to bring enthusiasm and energy to each episode because our listeners not only deserve the best news coverage, but also an entertaining escape from the mundaneness of everyday life.
Okay, now
Rob.
Mahalo.
That's dangerous. If it, you know, you don't want ChatGPT making promises. So you might want to go through and edit anything you're not willing to actually follow.
That's true, but for all the bed rotters out there.
This sounds great, but I'm just warning other people who think of using this to write vows.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, make sure you're not making promises you can't keep.
And finally, I promise to continue cherishing the laughter and camaraderie we share and to celebrate the unique bond that we have. Here's to many more years of us keeping news always factual and entertaining. In the vast realm of podcasting, may we always be the pioneers, the trendsetters, and most importantly, great friends.
Oh my gosh, dude. Wow. We are a throuple now.
We did it.
So
we did it.
Yeah.
We did it.
Mahalo. Listen.
Yeah. These are great vows.
Yeah. I only had one problem with these vows.
Yes.
What?
They used camaraderie like three times.
Yeah, Tyson.
Come on, where's your thesaurus?
No, repetition can be good. So that it.
You think we say it enough times and we're locked in?
Yeah, exactly. That's how cults begin.
Yeah,
you just got to use the same words until you're brainwashed.
So I think these marriage experts have it backwards. I think ChatGPT is great for writing vows. I think that in that earlier story about the law firm research, don't use ChatGPT for anything that is like actual factual, you know, that's something that needs to be like, if you need to have your facts straight, do not use ChatGPT, but something that's like ethereal, like wedding vows. Oh, ChatGPT is great.
Yeah, it was beautiful. I was really moved by it, Rob. If you had been like, hey, I spent all night working on this, me and Danny would be crying. We'd be sobbing. Oh,
the sweetest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Okay. I love you too, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
That's really, really touching. Can you send us a copy of that?
Sure. Oh, sure. Sure.
I'll have it laminated and put up on my wall.
On a throw pillow. Yeah, for sure.
Also, remember when ChatGPT did write us that holiday song that was so dope?
Yeah, it was so good. It wrote a poem song. For Liz.
It wrote a rap song. It wrote a poem for Liz.
Yeah. Okay. Some sad stories. We didn't cry about our renewal of the wedding vows or our podcast vows, but some wildlife authorities in Maine tell the sad story of a pet raccoon that had to be euthanized after a woman brought it to the pet store and some of the customers began kissing it.
All right. Okay. Who's like, oh, is that a raccoon? I've always wanted to kiss a raccoon. Like, who's thinking that? Why did they kiss the raccoon?
I don't really understand.
Did it have to be euthanized?
Yeah, I don't really know. But the woman brought her pet raccoon to the veterinarian to get its nails trimmed. And I guess some people thought it was so cute, they started kissing it. And I guess that then they had to put it down.
That nut, this doesn't make sense still.
Even though someone must have been bitten.
Yeah. I don't know. I want to make sure I get this person's name right, but one of the officials that were brought to the Maine Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife spokesperson, Matt Laddie, said that once it loses its fear of humans, then it is more likely to become a nuisance or run over by a vehicle.
Didn't it lose its fear if it's letting people trim its nails?
Yeah, so this is probably what happened, is that you're probably not allowed to have a raccoon as a pet in Maine. And then when this lady showed up to have her pet raccoon treated, they were like, you can't have pet raccoons.
Yeah.
And then they got rid of it. That's my observation. Or the only other thing I can think of is...
No, you're right,
Tyson. They came in to kiss this raccoon, and the raccoon was a better kisser than humans, and they knew there was going to be a problem.
This raccoon.
Yeah, the issue was,
the mob smashed the windows, got the love raccoon.
Yeah, you are not allowed to have a raccoon as a pet. And then you're not allowed to have a raccoon as a pet. The woman didn't know. But what is unclear from the story is why so many people said, oh, a raccoon, let me kiss it.
Yeah, that's been my question.
Multiple people, it says, kiss the raccoon.
Do they have the same thing that cat piss has, where it like grows mold makes in your brain that makes you want more cats? Like, does raccoon do something like that instantaneous?
I don't think so. But several different people handled it and some kissed it.
Gross.
Mm-hmm.
My friend had a raccoon in high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My dad had a skunk when he was in high school.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Neither of those. They can't be legal.
Was it like a skunk that could not spray, Tyson?
They had the glands removed, yes.
Boy, that's like disarming a bomb.
Yeah. So, I don't know the full ins and outs of everything, but those... They're cute. They're little rodents. They have a raccoon pet would probably be kind of fun to have. Like, they seem very intelligent.
Did you ever cover that on Nature with Tyson and Boston Rob?
We haven't yet. I think that's going to be on episode 10. On episode 1, maybe we will.
Yeah. Hey, let me tell you about raccoons. You can't kiss them.
Can't kiss them. I think... Well, Doc says in the chat that let's see,
the animal was tested for rabies.
Yeah
It didn't have rabies,
but they had to kill it to test.
It didn't matter anyway. Yes. It didn't get a stay of execution.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. So sad story. Yeah. Sad story for all the, I think they want to teach a lesson to all the raccoon pet havers.
Yes, you think this was a message?
This is a message.
Don't bring your raccoon in for
an
trimming.
Example. All right.
And then one other message to talk about. This comes from government officials in Georgia who apparently that there is an issue with the Georgia Department of Driver Services that they are saying that too many people are submitting photos for their digital identity cards where people are naked.
Even one is too many.
Mm-hmm.
They don't say how many. I would be interested in hearing if it was hundreds or if it was just like a handful of people.
And mm-hmm. is it a movement or are these all individuals acting individually?
I don't know. That I guess because for years and years you had to go into the DMV and get your picture taken. I guess you can update your own digital photos. And the Georgia Department of Driver Services put out a Facebook post that attention, lovely people of the digital era. Please take pictures with your clothes on when submitting them for your digital driver's license and IDs. Let's raise our virtual glasses and toast to the future. Cheers to technology and keeping things classy.
There is a small percentage of the population that if you ask them for a picture, they will send you nudes only. It's like the only thing they know how to do. And I think that's who is sending in these pictures. They're like, dude, I just feel more natural with my clothes off in front of a camera.
Now, it's unclear, you know, you're taking a picture. It's from the waist up. You don't know if people have just no shirt on.
That's what makes it so titillating. Mm-hmm. It's like, and I'm pretty sure like 95% of the naked nude selfies were dudes.
Yes. But Tyson, isn't that the same? Mm-hmm. If you drive a car with no shirt on, isn't that the same thing?
Good idea.
Yeah, so you're saying that because sometimes people drive a shirt with drive without a shirt on, that they should have their ID should also not have a shirt on.
Well, you don't just don't know. Like, I don't know why I can't take a shirtless ID photo.
Yeah, it's true. So is it just it's just shirtless then? So when they're saying nude, it's not like it's
well,
like
they don't know. They see the guy sends in the shirtless photo, but they don't know if he's got his pants on or not.
Mm-hmm.
So it does seem nude.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like when you go, oh, go ahead, Rob.
I was just going to say, do we think that this is really happening or are they just trying to get some attention for the Georgia Department of Motor Vehicles?
Well, it's just a marketing ploy. Really smart. Yeah. Georgia, you've done Georgia. It again.
And by asking people to stop sending nudes, I would think in this
you're
day
getting needs- more.
Yes.
That's what yes, you're getting more. But maybe this is what the pervs in the office wanted the whole time.
Yeah. Hey, stop sending. No one had sent one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, just stop it. Stop it with the nudes, guys. We don't want any more nudes.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's like, just watch, dude. They're going to pour in, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Sure enough.
Can everybody please stop sending me the naked DMs?
Yeah. Mm. It's
enough.
It's funny.
Enough already.
It's funny. No. We get it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Danny, are you ready to take us to your world famous bolt hole?
I'm so ready.
Okay, here we go, everybody. The Danny Bryson famous bolt hole segment.
Welcome to my bolt hole. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever lost a phone?
I don't think I've ever lost my phone.
Tyson, have you ever lost your phone?
I've had it stolen.
No, like lost it. Like you not knew where it was potentially.
Yeah. No,
like,
but
you
I
didn't
see
get
my,
it back, Tyson?
Yeah, I got it stolen. I didn't get it back. But I've seen my wife lose her phone many, many times.
Well, sometimes when you lose a phone and you know where it is, there's nothing you can do. Right. You're like, I dropped it into this lake. But for a government official in India, he had the power to retrieve his phone when he dropped it into a reservoir. Did you see this?
I heard this story. Yes.
Yeah. We had a lot of BBC.
The reservoir.
Yeah. We had a lot of BBC stories. So I was surprised this one didn't show up because it's also on the BBC. He dropped his phone into the reservoir and had it drained to get his phone back.
Mm hmm.
And I thought, if only all of us had the power to retrieve our phones wherever they might fall, dig up whatever needs to be dug up, go pull
out
all
the sewer
drains.
Was that wrong? Should he have not have done that?
Well, it seems like it was kind of the case.
He had some incriminating stuff on that phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, Tyson, excellent point. The phone did cost a lot, which what modern phone doesn't, $1,200. But the thing is, I thought there's no way he doesn't live in a place with drought. It seems like India suffers a lot of drought and that this reservoir is necessary to preserve life in that area.
Yes.
And they kind of made it sound like that was the case, that he valued his phone, his $1,200 phone, over the water needs of the local population.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he had it drained. He did retrieve his phone, but it did not work anymore.
Yes. Did you mention the fact that how he lost the phone?
So no, do you? I mean, I
yeah. According to this CNN article, yes, he was taking a selfie when dropped the phone into the reservoir, and then pumped out more than 2 million liters of water during a time of great drought.
That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you know, when powerful people lose a phone, they can send all the minions out to work and scour, drain, and dig to get that phone back. A lot of us, we just have to accept the fact that phone was dropped and it's gone. And there's nothing and no one we can get who will retrieve that for us.
Yeah.
So he's living on a different level.
Yeah, the perpetrator of the drop the phone claimed that the water that was let out was from the overflow section of the dam and was not in usable condition.
So like ChatGPT, a person who would do this cannot be trusted at all when it comes to listening to their excuses.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah. So he just like ChatGPT.
Dropped his phone into the bad water part of the dam.
Yeah. How convenient that it fell into the bad 12 billion gallons of water this drought-laden land needed.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like, it's kind of nice to know that there are people out there with enough power to get what they want no matter what.
Did he find the phone?
He did, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
So all that water was lost.
You got to put it in like rice. Do they have some gigantic like rice store of everybody's rice to eat?
Did he drain out their rice silo to get some rice?
Yeah, the government should take over the rice silo.
What I found so fascinating about this story was this is like the behavior of a king.
Yes.
You know, it's like, no, I will drain the lakes to get what I want.
What else did they find? That can't be the only thing that was on the bottom. I'm more interested in the list of things they found at the bottom of the reservoir.
Kind of like when Lake Mead went down and they were finding bodies and boats.
Yeah.
Should the wizards at Apple make a floating phone?
No, they wouldn't want to. They want you to,
buying. Yeah. How about a floating case?
How about this?
Yes, that probably exists, Rob.
Yes.
This is better. This is what Apple should do. The new phone comes floating, but then a couple software upgrades renders it unfloatable.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the next upgrade, 6 months later, unfloatable.
Yeah.
By the way, we don't know why. Apple would only come out with that floatable phone 6 months after Samsung does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we also have a floatable phone. Mm-hmm. It's way better.
Yeah.
We invented it.
Yeah, this could be the advertising campaign of like, okay, it's like Halloween and the kids are all getting together like, want a bob for apples? And then you see the kid, and it's like a bucket full of iPhones and they're just like trying to pull them out with their mouth.
That's a great idea. That would be a great game for billionaires, a bobbing for iPhones.
Yeah. Maybe some of them have like a pop socket on the back so the kids can actually like get their mouth around the part and then pull them out.
Gross, putting a phone in your mouth. Even if it was brand new, it would still feel very wrong.
Mm-hmm. Tyson, you do it, right?
Yeah, Tyson licks phones, so he doesn't even care.
I don't care.
Yeah. I think after COVID, I think they stopped bobbing for apples. I don't think they do that anymore.
Yeah, it was always kind of a gross activity.
It was
even
gross.
In the moment when you were like, wasn't your mouth just like slobbering all up on that knob?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now you are.
Like, yeah. And even even if you got the apples, right? The apples had like a nickel pushed in them. Like it was like very right?
A nickel?
What are you
your
talking
apple?
About I with feel this
like
nickel?
They didn't put like coins in the apples also? What? Is that something from the old country?
That's a Long Island thing.
Let me see. Coins for apples. Bob for apples.
Nobody in the chat knows what you're talking about, Rob. What are you doing?
Yeah. I don't know.
Different universe. This is different.
This
universe,
is from a different. Yeah. Do people put coins in apples for bobbing for apples?
Never heard it. Never.
Nothing like discovering you've got false memories bouncing around in your head.
Let's see.
Maybe your family did it. That could be a thing.
The game does not typically involve coins in the apples. However, variations of the game may exist.
Well, no kidding.
May exist. Is this from ChatGPT?
Yes.
Yeah. Now it's the person that does exist.
Yeah. However, variations of the game may exist. For example, in some cultures or families, a coin might be inserted into one or a few of the apples as a way of designating a prize apple. The person who successfully bobs and retrieves the apple with the coin would be declared the winner or receive a special prize.
Chat had never even considered this as an option until Rob asked
telling
the question.
Us how it works.
And now it's created this entire cultural background.
However, the variation should be approached with caution as the coin could potentially pose as a choking hazard.
It's creating a whole new line of history.
Yeah, it's a real BSer. It's like, do you want there to be coins in the apple? There could be coins in the apple. Yeah.
Just make sure that if you put coins in the apple, people have done it. And if you do it, just do it safely.
I could have sworn that, like, I feel like that my dad like had like some sort of like the, you know, the police, like they would have like a like some sort of like a picnic or whatever, and you bring your kids to it, and I feel like that they had coins in the apples.
No. I feel like the police of all people wouldn't put metal objects into stuff after the
they
whole X-ray.
They know all the Heimlich maneuver, maybe.
Well, I mean, X-raying all the Halloween candy. What kind of lesson are they teaching if it's like, well, yeah, on Halloween, it's not okay to be in the candy, but we'll put metal objects in the fruit.
Nobody's eating the fruit anyways.
Yeah. Interesting.
What's interesting is that ChatGPT took it and ran with it wasn't a thing.
Never even thought about it.
Now, I bet if we typed it in, it will have learned from that interaction. And it will then be like, yes, some people do actually put coins in their things. You can use it as a prize.
10 years from now, they're going to have this whole story about people in the high country of like Italy started the coin in the apple during the Depression era, and the trend slowly spread out to people. Immigrants carried it to New York. It's going to be all filled out, and then that becomes the new history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm.
All because of Rob planting the idea in ChatGPT.
Yeah, that's what I think too. I think maybe in the future, every apple bobbing thing will have coins in it, and we'll be like, when did it's always been.
It's always been that
only
way.
Only us three comrades.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we call it because of our camaraderie?
Yeah.
Comrades.
we'll know that it originated here with us right now, which is insane to think that that's how ChatGPT works.
That's how it works. Okay.
We incept ChatGPT with an idea.
Somebody give it some good ideas.
You can inception ChatGPT.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could incept ChatGPT, but that's insane. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I've learned something today that if you just ask, fully believing in the
plant
thing,
a mustard seed,
plant GPT. A coin in the apple, and all your dreams will come true.
ChatGPT will allow it to germinate, and then you will get the fruition of your ideas.
It's insane. This is crazy to me. Like, ChatGPT wasn't even like the facts are this. It was like, that's an interesting. Yes, I could see it. Yes, it could work, and they could be the prize winner, the ultimate prize winner. You could do it with one coin. Yes, of course, this is a variation.
In some cultures or families, a coin might be inserted into one or a few of the apples. Yeah. All right.
All right.
Danny, what's coming up for you?
I've got some stuff in the works.
Exciting
new things. Well, I did just shoot an episode for Mediocre on YouTube yesterday.
Not the Mount Whitney.
I did. Oh. You thought I shot an episode called Crossing
Picking Up Hitchhikers.
Nevada.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably would have. Yeah. Picking Up Hitchhikers in Nevada, which would probably be a way better episode than whatever I'm going to post.
Yeah.
So I've got that coming up hopefully next week, and then a couple other things in the works.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Other things?
Probably I'll spend the rest of the afternoon inceptioning ChatGPT.
Sure.
with lies that I can use later when Liz asks me about something. Like, no, check it out.
That's not a thing. Ask ChatGPT. Yeah. Okay, Tyson. Yes. Now you've gotten all your podcasting out of the way for today, I would assume.
Yeah.
Yep. You have the whole rest of the day as your oyster.
Yeah, 7:15, and I'm ready to party.
Ready to party. Anything good today?
No. Tomorrow we're going to go on a snorkel cruise all day long, but today we're just going to chill.
Just chill. Nice. Yep. Okay. Well, you're going to do some poolside bed rot.
Poolside bedrot, beachside bedrot, maybe some snorkeling offshore here.
Nice.
And then tomorrow we're going to go for a real snorkel. I did see an octopus two nights ago. I went night snorkeling with a light.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Danny, you would never dare to go night snorkeling with us.
Gosh, it's just this
now
black,
you have to.
Inky,
now you have to do it.
Fluid filled with nightmares. That's the ocean at night.
Dude, I convinced one of my brother-in-laws to go, but everybody else in the family was like, you guys are insane. But I've gone before. You just stay shallow and you always see cool stuff. We saw some eels. We saw this weird lobster thingy and we saw an octopus. So I got what I wanted.
I read on ChatGPT that at night, all the daytime sea creatures go to sleep and all the nighttime sea creatures come up from the deep ocean.
Wow.
That's what ChatGPT said. So it's a different, scarier experience.
Yeah.
What about you, Rob?
Oh, just podcasting away. Had a pretty quiet weekend in terms of podcasting, but now back at it for the next couple of days here as a little bit of a stretch with no Survivor, no Big Brother until August.
All right. Some bed rotting for you in your future.
No bed rotting. I got to find more things to podcast about. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we renewed our vows. We'll be back again next week with you.
Wait, we got something weird going on in the chat here. We got Rapper being mean to Sarah or weird. And this is a whole thing going on.
Okay. All right.
He just thinks she's sus, but we don't think she's sus.
Definitely not. More sus is the person that just showed up and calling out people that are well-known members of our chat.
Yeah. Shaka Sarah.
Shaka Sarah. All right. Thank you so much for joining us. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.
Aloha.